Serena struck with the stake. Its point burst through the other side of the pillow, coming to a halt just in front of Grant's chest as tiny fluffy pieces of stuffing drifted to the ground. She jerked it out and handed it to him like it had been the simplest thing in the world. Both Christian and Lissa stared in amazement.
"Let me try again," he said.
By the time Priscilla called them to dinner, there wasn't a pillow in that hotel room left untouched. Boy, she was going to be surprised when she got the bill. Lissa and Christian hacked away with the steak while the guardians looked on with a superior air, confident their message was being delivered. Staking Strigoi was not easy. Lissa was finally getting it. She realized that in some ways, piercing a pillow, or a Strigoi, wasn't even about understanding the principle. Sure, she'd heard me talk about lining your shot up to get to the heart and miss the ribs, but this was more than knowledge. A lot of it was strength. Strength she physically didn't have yet. Serena, though seemingly petite, had spent years building up her muscle and could get that stake through practically anything. 1 hour-long lesson wouldn't give Lissa that kind of strength, and she whispered as much to Christian when the group went out to dinner.
"You're quitting already?"
he asked, voice equally low as they rode in the back seat of an SUV. Grant, Serena, and a third guardian were there too, but they were deep in discussion.
"No," Lissa hissed back. "But I've got to, like, train before I can do it."
"Like lift weights?"
I don't know.
The others were still talking to each other, but Lissa's topic was too dangerous for her to risk them hearing. She leaned close to Christian, unnerved yet again at how his closeness and familiarity affected her. Swallowing, she tried to keep her face impassive and stick to the topic.
"But I'm just not strong enough. It's physically impossible."
"Sounds like you're giving up."
"Hey, you didn't make it through any of the pillows either."
He flushed slightly.
"I almost got through that green one."
"There was hardly anything in it."
"I just need more practice."
"You don't need to do anything,"
she shot back, fighting to keep her voice quiet through her anger.
"This isn't your fight. It's mine."
"Hey,"
he snapped, eyes glittering like pale blue diamonds.
"You're crazy if you think I'm going to just let you go and risk."
He cut himself off and actually bit his lip, as though will alone wasn't enough to stop him from talking. Lissa stared at him, and both of us began wondering how he would have finished. What wouldn't he risk? Her putting herself in danger? That was my guess. Even without talk, he spoke volumes with his expression. Through Lissa's eyes, I saw him drinking in her features and trying to hide his emotions. At last, he jerked away and broke that intimate space between them, getting as far from her as he could.
"Fine. Do whatever you want. I don't care."
Neither of them spoke after that, and since it was lunchtime for me, I returned to my own reality and welcomed a filing break, only to be informed by Hans that I had to keep working.
"Come on, isn't it lunchtime? You have to feed me," I exclaimed.
"That's just beyond cruel. At least throw me some crumbs." "I did feed you. Or, well, you fed yourself when you inhaled that sandwich. You wanted your lunch break then. You got it. Now you keep working."
I slammed my fists against the endless piles of paper before me. "Can't I at least do something else? Paint buildings? Haul rocks?"
"I'm afraid not."
A smile twisted the corners of his lips.
"There's a lot of filing we need done."
"How long? How long are you going to punish me?"
Hans shrugged.
"Until someone tells me to stop."
He left me alone again, and I leaned back in my chair, forcibly trying not to flip the table in front of me over. I thought it would make me feel momentarily better, but it also meant I'd have to redo the work I'd done. With a sigh, I returned to my task. Lissa was at dinner when I tuned back into her later. It might have technically been in honor of her birthday, but really, it was all royal conversation with Priscilla. That was no way to spend a birthday, I decided. I'd have to make this up to her whenever I earned freedom. We'd have a real party, and I'd be able to give her my birthday present.
gorgeous leather boots that Adrian had helped me acquire back at school. Being in Christian's head might have been more interesting, but since that wasn't an option, I returned to my own and mulled over my earlier talk with Adrian. Was this punishment finally going to end? Was an official royal decree going to put me and Lissa together at last, despite the Guardian's normal policy? Trying to figure it out was like being on a hamster wheel. A lot of work, no progress. But it got me through the dinner conversation, and before I knew it, Lissa's group was getting up and heading for the restaurant's door. It was dark out now, and Lissa couldn't help but feel the weirdness of being on a human schedule. Back at school, or the court, this would be the middle of the day. Instead, they were now heading back to their hotel and would be going to bed. Well, probably not right away. I had no doubt that if Lissa and Christian could get over their current huff, they'd be back to stabbing more pillows. As much as I wanted those two dating again, I couldn't help but think they were a lot safer apart. Or maybe not. The group had hung out at the restaurant far past the normal dinner hour, so the lot was mostly empty as they walked across it. The Guardians hadn't exactly parked in the back, but they weren't near the main entrance either. They had, however, made a point of parking next to one of the street lamps illuminating the lot. Except it wasn't lit now. The light had been broken. Grant, Aunt Priscilla's guardian, noticed it right away. It was the kind of little detail we were trained to notice. Anything unusual, anything that might have changed. In a flash, the two of them had stakes out and were flanking the Maroi. It only took seconds for Serena and the guardian assigned to Christian to follow suit. That was something else we were trained to do. Be on guard. React. Follow your colleagues. They were fast. All of them were fast. But it didn't matter, because suddenly there were Strigoi everywhere. I'm not entirely sure where they came from. Maybe they'd been behind the cars or on the parking lot's edges. If I'd had a bird's eye view of the situation or been there myself with my nausea alarm, I might have had a better sense of it all. But I was watching the scene through Lissa's eyes, and the Guardians were going out of their way to block her from the Strigoi, who seemed to have appeared out of thin air as far as she was concerned. Most of the actions were a blur to her. Her bodyguards were shoving her around, trying to keep her safe as white, red-eyed faces popped up everywhere. She saw it all through a fear-filled haze. But before long, both of us could see people dying. Serena, just as fast and strong as she'd been in the hotel room, staked a male Strigoi cleanly through the heart. Then, in return, a female Strigoi leapt at Priscilla's guardian and broke his neck. Lissa was distantly aware of Christian's arm around her, pressing her against the SUV and shielding her with his own body. The remaining guardians were also still forming a protective ring as best they could, but they were distracted. Their circle was faltering, and they were dropping. One by one, the Strigoi killed the guardians. It wasn't for lack of skill on the guardians' part. They were simply outnumbered. One Strigoi tore out Grant's throat with her teeth. Serena was backhanded hard against the asphalt, landing face down and not moving. In horror of horrors, the Strigoi didn't seem to be sparing Maroi either. Lissa, pushing so hard against the SUV that it seemed as though she might become one with it, stared wide-eyed as one Strigoi swiftly and efficiently ripped into Priscilla's neck, pausing to drink her blood. The Maroi woman didn't even have time to register surprise, but at least there had been no real suffering. The endorphins dimmed the pain as the blood and life were drained from her body. Lissa's emotions shifted into something beyond fear, something that hardly felt like anything at all. She was in shock, numbed, and with a cold, hard certainty, she knew that her death was coming and accepted it. Her hand found Christian's, squeezing it tightly, and turning toward him, she took small comfort in knowing the last sight she would see in life was the beautiful crystalline blue of his eyes. From the look on his face, his thoughts were along similar themes. There was warmth in his eyes, warmth and love and total and complete astonishment. His eyes widened, focusing on something just behind Lissa. At that same moment, a hand grabbed Lissa's shoulder and whipped her around. "This is it," a small voice inside her whispered. "This is where I die." Then, she understood Christian's astonishment. She was facing Dimitri. Like me, she had that surreal sense of it being Dimitri, yet not being Dimitri. So many of his features were the same, and yet so many were different. She tried to say something, anything, but while the words formed on her lips, she just couldn't manage to get them out. Intense heat suddenly flared behind her, and a brilliant light lit Dimitri's pale features. Neither Lissa nor I needed to see Christian to know he had produced a ball of fire with his magic. Either the shock of seeing Dimitri or fear for Lissa had spurred Christian into action. Dimitri squinted slightly at the light, but then a cruel smile twisted his lips, and the hand resting on her shoulder slid up to her neck.
"Put it out," said Dimitri. "Put it out, or she dies."
Lissa finally found her voice, even with her air cut off. "Don't listen to him," she gasped out. "He's going to kill us anyway." But behind her, the heat died. Shadows fell across Dimitri's face once again. Christian wouldn't risk her, even though she was right. It hardly seemed to matter.
"Actually," said Dimitri, voice pleasant amid the grim scene, "I'd rather you two stay alive, at least for a little while longer."
I felt Lissa's face move to a frown. I wouldn't have been surprised if Christian's did too, judging from the confusion in his voice. He couldn't even manage a snarky comment. He could only ask the obvious.
"Why?"
Dimitri's eyes gleamed.
"Because I need you to be bait for Rose."
Chapter 15. In my panicked mind right then, getting up and running on foot to Lehigh, despite it being miles and miles away, seemed like a totally solid plan. A heartbeat later, I knew this was out of my league. Way, way out of my league. As I shot up from my table and tore out of the room, I felt a sudden longing for Alberta. I'd seen her jump into action at St. Vladimir's and knew she could take charge of any situation. At this point in our relationship, she would respond to any threat I brought to her. The guardians at court were still strangers to me. Who could I go to? Hans? The guy who hated me? He wouldn't believe me, not like Alberta or my mother would. Running down the quiet hallways, I dismissed all such worries. It didn't matter. I would make him believe. I would find anyone I could. Anyone who could get Lissa and Christian out of this. "Only you can," a voice hissed in my head. "You're the one Dimitri wants." I ignored that thought too, largely because in my distraction, I collided into someone rounding a corner. I gave a muffled cry that sounded like oomph as my face slammed into someone's chest. I looked up. Mikhail. I would have been relieved, except I was too pumped full of adrenaline and worry. I grabbed his sleeve and began tugging him toward the stairs. "Come on, we have to get help." Mikhail remained where he was, not budging against my pull. He frowned, face calm.
"What are you talking about?"
"Lissa! Lissa and Christian, they've been taken by Strigoi, by Dimitri. We can find them. I can find them, but we have to hurry." Mikhail's confusion grew.
"Rose, how long have you been down here?"
I didn't have time for this. Leaving him, I fled up the stairs to the main levels of the complex. A moment later, I heard his footsteps behind me. When I reached the main office, I expected someone to chastise me for leaving my punishment, except no one seemed to even notice me. The office was in chaos. Guardians were running around, calls were being made, and voices rose to frantic levels. They knew, I realized. They already knew. "Hans," I called, pushing my way through the crowd. He was on the other side of the room and had just hung up on a cell call. "Hans, I know where they are, where the Strigoi took Lissa and Christian."
"Hathaway, I don't have time for your..."
His scowl faltered.
"You had that bond."
I stared in astonishment. I'd been ready for him to dismiss me as a nuisance. I'd been ready for a long fight to convince him. I gave him a hasty nod.
"I saw it. I saw everything that happened."
Now I frowned. "How do you know already?"
Serena,
he said grimly.
Serena's dead.
He shook his head.
No, not yet, though she certainly sounded like it on the phone. Whatever happened, it took everything she had to make that call. We have alchemists coming to get her and clean up.
I replayed the events, remembering how Serena had been slammed against the asphalt. It had been a hard blow, and when she didn't move, I'd assume the worst. Yet if she'd survived, and apparently she must have, I could just barely form a mental image of her dragging her cell phone out of her pocket with bloody hands. Please, please let her be alive, I thought, not sure who I was praying to.
Come on, said Hans. We need you. There are teams already forming.
There was another surprise. I hadn't expected him to bring me on so quickly. A new respect for Hans settled over me. He might act like an asshole, but he was a leader. When he saw an asset, he used it. In one swift motion, he was hurrying out the door, several guardians following him. I struggled to keep up with their longer strides and saw Mikhail coming as well. You're doing a rescue, I told Hans. That's rare. I hesitated to even speak the words. I certainly didn't want to discourage this. But Moroi rescues weren't normal. When Strigoi took them, they were often regarded as dead. The rescue we'd done after the Academy attack had been an oddity. One that had taken a lot of persuasion. Hans gave me a wry look.
So is the Dragomir Princess.
Lyssa was precious to me, worth more than anything else in the world. And for the Moroi, I realized, she was precious too. Most Moroi captured by Strigoi might be regarded as dead, but she wasn't most Moroi. She was the last in her line, the last of one of 12 ancient families. Losing her wouldn't just be a hit to Moroi culture. It would be a sign, an omen, that the Strigoi were truly defeating us. For her, the Guardians would risk a rescue mission. In fact, it appeared they would risk a lot of things. As we arrived at the garages where the court's vehicles were stored, I saw masses of other Guardians arriving, along with Moroi. I recognized a few. Tasha Ozera was among them, and like her, the others were fire users. If we'd learned anything, it was how valuable they were in a fight. It appeared the controversy of Moroi going to battle was being ignored right now, and I was amazed at how quickly this group had been summoned. Tasha's eyes met mine, her face grave and drawn. She said nothing to me. She didn't need to. Hans was barking orders, splitting people into groups and vehicles. With every bit of self-control I could muster, I waited patiently near him. My restless nature made me want to jump in and start demanding to know what I could do. He would get to me, I assured myself. He had a role for me. I just had to wait. My self-control was also being tested with Lyssa. After Dimitri had taken her and Christian away, I'd left her mind. I couldn't go back. Not yet. I couldn't stand to see them. To see Dimitri. I knew I'd have to once I began directing the Guardians, but for now, I held off. I knew Lyssa was alive. That was all that mattered for the time being. Still, I was so wound up and filled with tension that when someone touched my arm, I nearly turned on them with my stake. Adrian, I breathed. What are you doing here? He stood there looking down at me, and his hand gently brushed my cheek. I had only ever seen such a serious, grim look on his face a couple of times. As usual, I didn't like it. Adrian was one of those people who should always be smiling.
As soon as I heard the news, I knew where you'd be.
I shook my head.
It happened like, I don't know, 10 minutes ago?
Time had blurred for me. How could everyone know so soon?
It was radioed across the court as soon as they found out. They've got an instant alert system. In fact, the Queen's kind of in lockdown.
What? Why? Somehow that annoyed me. Tatiana wasn't the one in danger. Why waste resources on her? A nearby guardian gave me a critical look over that. Adrian shrugged.
Strigoi attack relatively close by? They take it as a pretty serious security threat for us.
Relatively was the key word. Lehi was about an hour and a half from court. Guardians were always on alert, though with each passing second, I wished they'd move faster and be on alert. If Adrian hadn't shown up, I was pretty sure I would have lost my patience and told Hans to hurry.
"It's Dimitri," I said in a low voice. I hadn't been sure if I should tell anyone else that. "He's the one who took them. He's using them to lure me there."
Adrian's face grew darker.
"Rose, you can't."
He trailed off, but I knew his meaning.
"What choice do I have?" I exclaimed. "I have to go. She's my best friend, and I'm the only one who can lead them to her."
"It's a trap."
"I know, and he knows I know."
"What will you do?"
Again, I knew exactly what Adrian meant. I glanced down at the stake I'd unconsciously pulled out earlier.
"What I have to. I have to kill him."
"Good," said Adrian,
relief flooding his features.
"I'm glad."
For some reason, that irritated me.
"God," I snapped. "Are you that eager to get rid of any competition?"
Adrian's face stayed serious.
"No, I just know that as long as he's still alive, or, well, kind of alive, then you're in danger, and I can't stand that. I can't stand knowing that your life is in the balance."
"And it is, Rose.
You'll never be safe until he's gone."
"I want you safe. I need you to be safe. I can't have anything happen to you."
My flare of anger vanished as quickly as it had come.
"Oh, Adrian, I'm sorry."
I let him draw me into his arms, resting my head against his chest. I felt his heartbeat and the softness of his shirt. I allowed myself a brief and fleeting moment of comfort. I just wanted to sink into him then and there. I didn't want to be consumed by these feelings of fear. Fear for Lyssa and fear of Dimitri. I went cold all over as a sudden realization slipped over me. No matter what happened, I would lose one of them tonight. If we rescued Lyssa, Dimitri would die. If he survived, she would die. There was no happy ending for this story. Nothing that could save my heart from being crushed into pieces. Adrian brushed my forehead with his lips and then leaned down toward my mouth.
"Be careful, Rose. No matter what happens, please, please be careful. I can't lose you."
I didn't know what to say to that, how to respond to all that emotion pouring from him. My own mind and heart were flooded with so many mixed feelings that I could barely form a coherent thought. Instead, I drew my lips to his and kissed him. In the midst of all the death tonight, the death that already had happened and that which was still to come, that kiss seemed more powerful than any he and I had ever shared. It was alive. I was alive, and I wanted to stay that way. I wanted to bring Lyssa back, and I wanted to return to Adrian's arms again, return to his lips and all this life.
"Hathaway, good God, do I need to hose you down?"
I broke abruptly from Adrian and saw Hans glaring at me. Most of the SUVs were loaded up. Now it was my turn to act. I gave Adrian a look of farewell, and he forced a small smile that I think was supposed to be brave.
"Be careful," he repeated. "Bring them back, and bring yourself back too."
I gave him a quick nod and then followed an impatient Hans into one of the SUVs. The most bizarre sense of déjà vu settled over me as I slid into the back seat. This was so like the time Victor had kidnapped Lyssa that I nearly froze up. Then, too, I had ridden in a similar black SUV, directing guardians toward Lyssa's location. Only it had been Dimitri sitting beside me. The wonderful, brave Dimitri I'd known so long ago. Yet those memories were so etched into my mind and heart that I could picture every detail. The way he tucked his hair behind his ears. The fierce look in his brown eyes as he'd stepped on the gas to get us to Lyssa faster. He'd been so determined, so ready to do what was right. This Dimitri the Strigoi, was also determined, but in a very different way.
"You gonna be able to do this?"
asked Hans from the front seat. A hand gently squeezed my arm, and I was startled to see Tasha beside me. I hadn't even noticed she was riding with us.
We're counting on you.
I nodded, wanting to be worthy of his respect. In best guardian fashion, I kept my emotions off my face, trying not to feel that conflict between the two Dimitris. Trying not to remember that the night we'd gone after Lyssa and Victor had been the same night Dimitri and I had fallen prey to the lust charm. Head toward Lehi, I said in a cool voice. I was a guardian now. I'll direct you when we get closer. We'd only been on the road for about 20 minutes when I sensed Lyssa's group coming to a halt. Dimitri had apparently chosen a hideout not too far from the university, which would make it easier for us to find than if they'd kept moving. Of course, I had to remind myself that Dimitri wanted to be found, knowing that the guardians with me wouldn't need my directions until we were closer to Lehi. I steeled myself and jumped into Lyssa's head to see what was going on. Lyssa and Christian hadn't been harmed or attacked, aside from being pushed and dragged around. They sat in what looked like a storage room that hadn't been used in a very long time. Dust coated everything in a heavy layer, so much that it was hard to make out some of the objects piled on the rickety shelves. Some tools, maybe. Paper here and there, as well as the occasional box. A bare light bulb was the only light in the room, giving everything a harsh and dingy feel. Lyssa and Christian sat in straight-backed wooden chairs, their hands bound behind their backs with rope. For a moment, deja vu hit again. I remembered last winter when I, too, along with my friends, had been bound to chairs and held captive by Strigoi. They'd drunk from Eddie and Mason had died. No, don't think like that, Rose. Lyssa and Christian are alive. Nothing's happened to them yet. Nothing will happen to them. Lyssa's mind was on the here and now, but a little probing let me see what the overall building had looked like when she'd been brought in. It had seemed to be a warehouse, an old abandoned one, which made it a nice place for the Strigoi to hole up with their prisoners. There were four Strigoi in the room, but as far as Lyssa was concerned, only one really mattered, Dimitri. I understood her reaction. Seeing him as a Strigoi had been hard for me. Surreal, even. I'd adapted somewhat, simply because of all the time I'd spent with him. Still, even I was caught by surprise sometimes at seeing him like that. Lyssa hadn't been prepared at all, and was in total shock. Dimitri's dark brown hair was worn loose around his chin today, a look I'd always loved on him, and he was pacing rapidly, causing his duster to swirl around him. A lot of the time, his back was to Lyssa and Christian, which made it that much more troubling for her. Without seeing his face, she could almost believe it was the Dimitri she'd always known. He was arguing with the other three as he walked back and forth across the small space, agitation radiating off him in an almost palpable wave. If the guardians really are coming, snarled one Strigoi, then we should be posted outside. She was a tall, gangly redhead who appeared to have been Maroi when turned. Her tone implied that she did not think guardians were actually coming, though.
They're coming, said Dimitri in a low voice,
that lovely accent making my heart ache.
I know they are.
Then let me get out there and be useful, she snapped. You don't need us to babysit these two.
Her tone was dismissive, scornful even. It was understandable. Everyone in the vampire world knew Maroi didn't fight back, and Lyssa and Christian were firmly bound.
You don't know them, said Dimitri. They're dangerous. I'm not even sure this is enough protection.
That's ridiculous!
In one smooth motion, Dimitri turned and backhanded her. The hit knocked her back a few feet, her eyes widening in fury and shock. He resumed his pacing as though nothing had happened.
You will stay here, and you will guard them as long as I tell you to. Do you understand?
She glared back and gingerly touched her face but said nothing. Dimitri glanced at the others.
And you'll stay too. If the guardians actually make it this far inside, you'll be needed for more than just guard duty.
How do you know?
Demanded another Strigoi, a black-haired one who might have been human once. A rarity among Strigoi.
How do you know they'll come?
Strigoi had amazing hearing, but with their bickering, Lyssa had a brief opportunity to speak, undetected, to Christian.
"Can you burn my ropes?" she murmured in a nearly inaudible voice. "Like with Rose?"
Christian frowned. When he and I had been captured, it was what he'd done to free me. It had hurt like hell and left blisters on my hands and wrists.
"They'll notice,"
he breathed back. The conversation went no further because Dimitri came to an abrupt halt and turned toward Lyssa. She gasped at the sudden and unexpected movement. Swiftly approaching her, he knelt down before her and peered into her eyes. She trembled in spite of her best efforts. She had never been this close to a Strigoi, and the fact that it was Dimitri was that much worse. The red rings around his pupils seemed to burn into her. His fangs looked poised to attack. His hand snaked out and gripped her neck, tilting her face up so he could get an even better look into her eyes. His fingers dug into her skin, not enough to cut off her air, but enough that she would have bruises later, if there was a later.
"I know the guardians will come because Rose is watching," said Dimitri. "Aren't you, Rose?"
Loosening his hold a little, he ran his fingertips over the skin of Lyssa's throat, so gently. Yet there was no question, he had the power to snap her neck. It was like he was looking into my eyes at the moment, my soul. I even felt like he was stroking my neck. I knew it was impossible. The bond existed between Lyssa and me. No one else could see it. Yet, just then, it was like no one else existed but him and me. It was like there was no Lyssa between us.
"You're in there, Rose."
A pitiless half-smile played over his mouth.
"And you won't abandon either of them. You also aren't foolish enough to come alone, are you? Maybe once you would have, but not anymore."
I jerked out of her head, unable to stare into those eyes and see them staring back at me. Whether it was my own fear or a mirroring of Lyssa's, I discovered my body was also trembling. I forced it to stop and tried to slow my racing heart. Swallowing, I glanced around to see if anyone had noticed, but they were all preoccupied with discussing strategy, except for Tasha. Her cool blue gaze studied me, her face drawn with concern.
"What did you see?"
I shook my head, unable to look at her either.
"A nightmare," I murmured. "My worst nightmare coming true."
Chapter 16. I didn't have a precise count of how many Strigoi were with Dimitri's group. So much of what I'd seen through Lyssa had been blurred with confusion and terror. The Guardians, knowing we were expected, had simply had to make a best guess about how many to send. Hans had hoped overwhelming force would make up for us losing the element of surprise. He dispatched as many guardians as he could reasonably clear from the court. Admittedly, the court was protected by wards, but it still couldn't be left entirely undefended. Having the new grads there had helped. Most of them had been left behind, allowing the seasoned guardians to go on our hunting party. That left us with 40 or so. It was as unusual as large groups of Strigoi banding together. Guardians were usually sent out in pairs, maybe groups of three at most, with Moroi families. This large of a force had the potential to bring about a battle rivaling that of the Academy attack. Knowing that sneaking through the dark wouldn't work, Hans stopped our convoy a little ways from the warehouse the Strigoi were holed up at. The building was situated on a service road cutting off from the highway. It was an industrial area, hardly a deserted path in the woods, but all the businesses and factories were shut down this late at night. I stepped out of the SUV, letting the warm evening wrap around me. It was humid, and the moisture in the air felt especially oppressive when I was already smothered with fear. Standing beside the road, I felt no nausea. Dimitri hadn't posted Strigoi this far, which meant our arrival was still kind of a surprise. Hans walked over to me, and I gave him the best estimate I could on the situation, based on my limited information.
"But you can find Vasilisa?"
he asked. I nodded. "As soon as I'm in the building, the bond will lead me straight to her." He turned, staring off into the night as cars sped by on the nearby highway.
If they're already waiting outside, they'll smell and hear us long before we see them.
Passing headlights briefly illuminated his face, which was lined in thought.
You said there are 3 layers of Strigoi?
As far as I could tell, there are some on Lyssa and Christian, then some outside. I paused, trying to think what Dimitri would do in this situation. Surely I knew him well enough, even as a Strigoi, to calculate his strategy. Then another layer inside the building, before you get to the storage room. I didn't know this for certain, but I didn't tell Hans. The assumption was made on my own instincts, drawn from what I would do and what I thought Dimitri would do. I figured it would be best if Hans planned for 3 waves of Strigoi. And that's exactly what he did.
Then we go in with 3 groups. You'll lead the group going in for the extraction. Another team will accompany yours and eventually split off. They'll fight whoever's right inside, letting your group head for the captives.
It sounded so militaristic. Extraction? Captives? And me, a team leader. It made sense with the bond, but always in the past, they'd simply used my knowledge and left me on the sidelines. Welcome to being a guardian, Rose. At school, we'd conducted all sorts of exercises, running as many different Strigoi scenarios as our instructors could dream up. Yet, as I stared up at the warehouse, all of those drills seemed like play acting, a game that could in no way measure up to what I was about to face. For half a second, the responsibility of it all seemed daunting, but I quickly shoved aside such concerns. This was what I had been trained to do, what I had been born to do. My own fears didn't matter. They come first. Time to prove it. What are we going to do since we can't sneak up on them? I asked. Hans had a point about the Strigoi detecting us in advance. An almost mischievous smile flickered on his face, and he explained his plan to the group while also dividing us into our teams. His approach tactic was bold and reckless. My kind of plan. And like that, we were off. An outsider analyzing us might have said we were on a suicide mission. Maybe we were. It honestly didn't matter. The Guardians wouldn't abandon the last Dragomir, and I wouldn't have abandoned Lyssa, even if there were 1,000,000 Dragomirs. So, with sneaking having been ruled out, Hans opted for a full-on attack. Our group loaded back into the 8 SUVs and tore off down the street at illegal speeds. We took up the entire width of the road, gambling on no oncoming traffic. 2 SUVs led the charge side by side, then 2 rows of 3. We shot to the end of the road, came to a halt with screeching tires at the front of the warehouse, and spilled out of our cars. If slow stealth wasn't an option, we'd gain surprise by going fast and furious. Some of the Strigoi were indeed surprised. Clearly, they'd seen our approach, but it had happened so fast that they'd had only a little time to react. Of course, when you're as fast and deadly as Strigoi, a little time was all you needed. A group of them surged at us, and Hans's outside team charged back, those guardians putting themselves between my group and the other going inside. The Moroi fire users had been assigned to the outside group, for fear of setting the building on fire if they went inside. My team moved around the battle, inevitably running into a few Strigoi who hadn't fallen to the first team's distraction. With well-practiced determination, I ignored the nausea sweeping through me from being this close to Strigoi. Hans had strictly ordered me not to stop unless any Strigoi were directly in my path, and he and another guardian were beside me to cover any threats that might come at me. He wanted nothing to delay me from leading them to Lyssa and Christian. We fought our way into the warehouse, entering a dingy hall blocked by Strigoi. I'd been right in my guess that Dimitri would have layers of security. A bottleneck formed in the small space, and for a few moments, things were chaotic. Lyssa was so close, it was like she was calling to me, and I burned with impatience as I waited for the hall to clear. My team was in the back, letting the other group do the fighting. I saw Strigoi and Guardians alike fall, and I tried not to let it distract me. Fight now, grieve later. Lyssa and Christian, I had to focus on them.
There,
said Hans, tugging my arm. A gap had formed ahead of us. There were still plenty of Strigoi, but they were distracted enough that my companions and I slipped through. We took off down the hall, which opened into a large empty space that made up the warehouse's heart. A few pieces of trash and debris were all that was left of the goods once stored here. Doors led off of the room, but now I didn't need the bond to tell me where Lissa was. Three Strigoi stood guard outside a doorway. So, four layers of security. Dimitri had one-upped me. It didn't matter. My group had 10 people. The Strigoi snarled, bracing in anticipation as we charged them. Through an unspoken signal, half of my group engaged them. The rest of us busted down the door. Despite my intense focus on reaching Lissa and Christian, one tiny thought had always been dancing in the back of my brain. Dimitri. I hadn't seen Dimitri in any of the Strigoi we'd encountered. With my full attention on our attackers, I hadn't slipped into Lissa's head to verify the situation, but I felt totally confident that he was still inside the room. He would have stayed with her, knowing I would come. He would be waiting to face me. One of them dies tonight, Lissa or Dimitri. Having reached our goal, I no longer needed extra protection. Hans pulled out his stake on the first Strigoi he encountered, pushing past me and jumping into the fray. The rest of my group did likewise. We poured into the room, and if I thought there'd been chaos earlier, it was nothing compared to what we faced. All of us, Guardians and Strigoi, just barely fit inside the room, which meant we were fighting in very, very close quarters. A female Strigoi, the one Dimitri had slapped earlier, came at me. I fought on autopilot, barely aware of my stake piercing her heart. In this room, full of shouting and death and colliding, there were only three people in the world that mattered to me now. Lissa, Christian, and Dimitri. I'd found him at last. Dimitri was with my two friends against the far wall. No one was fighting him. He stood with arms crossed, a king surveying his kingdom as his soldiers battled the enemy. His eyes fell on me, his expression amused and expectant. This was where it would end. We both knew it. I shoved my way through the crowd, dodging Strigoi. My colleagues pushed into the fray beside me, dispatching whomever stood in my way. I left them to their fight, moving toward my objective. All of this, everything happening, had led to this moment, the final showdown between Dimitri and me.
"You're beautiful in battle," said Dimitri.
His cold voice carried to me clearly, even above the roar of combat.
"Like an avenging angel come to deliver the justice of heaven."
"Funny," I said, shifting my hold on the stake. "That is kind of why I'm here."
"Angels fall, Rose."
I'd almost reached him. Through the bond, I felt a brief surge of pain from Lissa, a burning. No one was harming her yet. But when I saw her arms move out of the corner of my eye, I realized what had happened. Christian had done what she'd asked. He'd burned her ropes. I saw her move to untie him in return, and then my attention shifted back to Dimitri. If Lissa and Christian were free, then so much the better. It would make their escape easier once we cleared out the Strigoi. If we cleared out the Strigoi.
"You've gone to a lot of trouble to get me here," I told Dimitri. "A lot of people are going to die. Yours and mine."
He shrugged, unconcerned. I was almost there. In front of me, a guardian battled a bald Strigoi. That lack of hair was not attractive with his chalk-white skin. I moved around them.
"It doesn't matter," said Dimitri.
He tensed as I approached.
"None of them matter. If they die, then they obviously aren't worthy."
"Prey and predator," I murmured, recalling what he'd said to me while holding me prisoner. I'd reached him. No one stood between us now. This was different from our past fights, where we'd had lots of room to size each other up and plan our attacks. We were still crammed into the room, and in keeping our distance from the others, we'd close the gap between us. That was a disadvantage for me. Strigoi outmatched Guardians physically. Extra room helped us compensate with more maneuverability. I didn't need to maneuver quite yet, though. Dimitri was trying to wait me out, wanting me to make the first move. He kept a good position, though, one that blocked me from getting a clear shot on his heart. I could do some damage if I cut him elsewhere with the stake, but he would likely get a hit in on me that would be packed with power in this proximity. So I tried to wait him out as well.
All this death is because of you, you know, he said. If you'd let me awaken you, let us be together, well, none of this would have happened. We'd still be in Russia, in each other's arms, and all of your friends here would be safe. None of them would have died. It's your fault.
And what about the people I'd have to kill in Russia? I demanded. He shifted his weight a little. Was that an opening? They wouldn't be safe if I... A crashing sound off to my left startled me. Christian, now freed, had just slammed his chair into a Strigoi engaged with a guardian. The Strigoi shrugged Christian off like a fly. Christian flew backward, slamming into a wall and landing on the floor with a slightly stunned look. In spite of myself, I spared him a glance and saw Lissa running to his side. And so help me, she had a stake in her hand. How she'd managed that, I had no idea. Maybe she'd picked it up from a falling guardian. Maybe none of the Strigoi had thought to search her when she came in. After all, why on earth would a Moroi be carrying a stake? Stop it! Stay out of the way! I yelled at them, turning back to Dimitri. Letting those two distract me had cost me. Realizing Dimitri was about to attack, I managed to dodge without even seeing what he was doing. It turned out he'd been reaching for my neck, and my imprecise evasion had spared me the full damage. Still, his hand caught me on the shoulder, knocking me back almost as far as Christian had gone. Unlike my friend, though, I had years of training that had taught me to recover from something like that. I'd honed a lot of balance and recovery skills. I staggered only a little, then quickly regained my footing. I could only pray Christian and Lissa would listen to me and not do anything stupid. My attention had to stay on Dimitri, or I'd get myself killed. And if I died, Lissa and Christian died for sure. My impression while fighting our way inside had been that the guardians outnumbered the Strigoi, though that meant little sometimes. Still, I had to hope my colleagues would finish our foes off, leaving me to do what I had to do. Dimitri laughed at my dodge.
I'd be impressed if that wasn't something a 10-year-old could do. Now your friends, well, they're also fighting at a 10-year-old level. And for Moroi, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, well, we'll see what your assessment is when I kill you, I told him. I made a small feint to test how much he was paying attention. He sidestepped with hardly any notice at all, as graceful as a dancer.
You can't, Rose. Haven't you figured that out by now? Haven't you seen it? You can't defeat me. You can't kill me. Even if you could, you can't bring yourself to do it. You'll hesitate. Again.
No, I wouldn't. That's what he didn't realize. He'd made a mistake bringing Lissa here. She increased the stakes, no pun intended, on everything. She was here. She was real. Her life was on the line. And for that, I wouldn't hesitate. Dimitri must have grown tired of waiting for me. He leapt out, hand again going for my neck. And again, I evaded, letting my shoulder take the brunt of the hit. This time he held on to my shoulder. He jerked me toward him, triumph flaring in those red eyes. In the sort of space we were in, this was probably all he needed to kill me. He had what he wanted. Apparently, though, he wasn't the only one who wanted me. Another Strigoi, maybe thinking he'd help Dimitri, pushed toward us and reached for me. Dimitri bared his fangs, giving the other Strigoi a look of pure hatred and fury.
Mine!
Dimitri hissed, hitting the other Strigoi in a way that he had clearly not expected. And that was my opening. Dimitri's brief distraction had caused him to loosen his grip on me. That same close proximity, which made him so lethal to me, now made me just as dangerous. I was by his chest, by his heart, and I had my stake in hand. I'll never be able to say for sure just how long the next series of events took. In some ways, it felt like only one heartbeat passed. At the same moment, it was as though we were frozen in time, like the entire world had stopped. My stake was moving toward him, and as Dimitri's eyes fell on me once more, I think he finally believed I would kill him. I was not hesitating. This was happening. My stake was there, and then it wasn't. Something hit me hard on my right side, pushing me away from Dimitri and ruining my shot. I stumbled, barely avoiding hitting anyone. While I always tried to be vigilant regarding all things around me in a fight, I'd let my guard down in that direction. The Strigoi and Guardians were on my left. The wall and Lyssa and Christian were on my right. And it was Lyssa and Christian who had shoved me out of the way. I think Dimitri was as astonished as I was. He was also equally astonished when Lyssa came toward him with that stake in her hand. And like lightning through the bond, I read what she had very, very carefully kept from me the last day. She had managed to charm the stake with spirit. It was the reason she'd been so keyed up during her last stake practice session with Grant and Serena. Knowing she had the tool she needed had fueled her desire to use it. Her hiding all of that information from me was a feat on par with charming the stake. Not that it mattered right now. Charmed stake or no, she couldn't get near Dimitri. He knew it too, and his surprise immediately changed to delighted amusement. Almost indulgent, like the way one watches a child do something adorable. Lyssa's attack was awkward. She wasn't fast enough. She wasn't strong enough. No! I screamed, leaping toward them, though pretty certain I wasn't going to be fast enough either. Suddenly, a blazing wall of heat and flame appeared before me, and I barely had the presence of mind to back up. That fire had shot up from the floor, forming a ring around Dimitri that kept me from him. It was disorienting, but only for a moment. I knew Christian's handiwork. Stop it! I didn't know what to do. If I should attack Christian or leap into the fire. You'll burn us all alive! The fire was fairly controlled. Christian had that much skill. But in a room this size, even a controlled fire was deadly. Even the other Strigoi backed away. The flames were closing in on Dimitri, growing tighter and tighter. I heard him scream. Could see the look of agony even through the fire. It began to consume his coat, and smoke poured out from the blaze. Some instinct told me I needed to stop this, and yet, what did it matter? I'd come to kill him. Did it matter if someone else did it for me? And that's when I noticed Lyssa was still on the offensive. Dimitri was distracted, screaming as the flames wrapped around him. I was screaming too. For him. For her. It's hard to say. Lyssa's arm shot through the flames, and again, pain surged through the bond. Pain that dwarfed the earlier singe from Christian burning her ropes. Yet she kept going, ignoring the fiery agony. Her alignment was right. She had the stake aimed at the heart. The stake went in, piercing him. Well, kind of. Just like when she'd practiced with the pillow, she didn't quite have the strength to get the stake where it needed to go. I felt her steel herself, felt her summon up every ounce of strength she had. Throwing her full weight into it, she shoved again, using both hands. The stake went in further, still not enough. This delay would have cost her her life in a normal situation. This was not a normal situation. Dimitri had no means to block her, not with the fire slowly eating him. He did manage a small struggle that loosened the stake, undoing what little progress she'd made. Grimacing, she tried again, pushing the stake back to its former position. Still, it wasn't enough. I came to my senses then, knowing I needed to stop this. Lyssa was going to burn herself up if she kept trying to stake him. She lacked the skill. Either I needed to stake him, or we just needed to let the fire finish him off. I moved forward. Lyssa caught sight of me in her periphery and sent out a blast of compulsion at me. No! Let me do this! The command hit me hard. An invisible wall that made me come to a halt. I stood there dazed, both from the compulsion itself and the realization that she'd used it on me. It only took a moment for me to shake it off. She was too distracted to put her full power into the order, and I was pretty compulsion-resistant anyway. Yet, that slight delay had stopped me from reaching her. Lyssa seized her last chance, knowing she'd get no other. One more time, fighting through the fire's searing pain, She threw everything she had into shoving the stake all the way into Dimitri's heart. Her strike was still awkward, still requiring a little more wiggling and pushing than the clean hit a trained guardian would make. Clumsy or not, the stake finally made it. It pierced his heart. And as it did, I felt magic flood our bond. The familiar magic I'd felt so many times when she'd performed a healing. Except, this was 100 times more powerful than anything I'd ever felt before. It froze me up as neatly as her compulsion had. I felt as though all my nerves were exploding, like I'd just been struck by lightning. White light suddenly burst out around her, a light that dwarfed the fire's brightness. It was like someone had dropped the sun into the middle of that room. I cried out, my hand rising instinctively to shield my eyes as I stepped backward. From the sounds in the room, everyone else was having a similar reaction. For a moment, it was as if there was no bond anymore. I felt nothing from Lyssa. No pain, no magic. The bond was as colorless and empty as the white light filling the room. The power she'd used had overflooded and overwhelmed our bond, numbing it. Then the light simply disappeared. No fade out, just gone in an eye blink. Like a switch had been flipped. There was silence in the room, save for a few murmurings of discomfort and confusion. That light must have been toxic to sensitive Strigoi eyes. It was hard enough for me. Starbursts danced in my sight. I couldn't focus on anything as the afterimage of that brilliance burned across my vision. At last, with a little squinting, I could vaguely see again. The fire was gone, though black smudges on the wall and ceiling marked its presence, as did some lingering smoke. By my estimation, there should have been a lot more damage. I could spare no time for that miracle, though, because there was another one taking place in front of me. Not just a miracle, a fairy tale. Lyssa and Dimitri were both on the floor. Their clothes were burned and singed. Angry red and pink patches marked her beautiful skin from where the fire had hit hardest. Her hands and wrists were particularly bad. I could see spots of blood where the flames had actually burned some of her skin away. Third-degree burns, if I was recalling my physiology classes correctly. Yet she seemed to feel no pain, nor did the burns affect her hands' movement. She was stroking Dimitri's hair. While she sat in some semblance of an upright position, he was in an ungainly sprawl. His head rested in her lap, and she was running her fingers through his hair in a gentle, repetitive motion, like one does to comfort a child or even an animal. Her face, even marred with the fire's terrible damage, was radiant and filled with compassion. Dimitri had called me an avenging angel, but she was an angel of mercy as she gazed down at him and crooned soothing nonsense words. With the state of his clothes and what I'd seen in the fire, I'd expected him to be burned to a crisp, some sort of blackened skeletal nightmare. Yet when he shifted his head, giving me my first full view of his face, I saw that he was completely unharmed. No burns marked his skin, skin that was as warm and tanned as it had been the first day I'd met him. I caught only a glimpse of his eyes before he buried his face against Lyssa's knee. I saw endless depths of brown, the depths I'd fallen into so many times. No red rings. Dimitri was not a Strigoi, and he was weeping. Chapter 17. The entire room seemed to hold its breath. Yet even in the face of miracles, guardians, or Strigoi for that matter, were hard to distract. Fights that had paused now resumed with just as much fury. The guardians had the upper hand, and those of them who weren't engaged with the last surviving Strigoi suddenly leapt toward Lyssa, trying to pull her away from Dimitri. To everyone's surprise, she held onto him tightly and made a few feeble attempts to fight off those crowding around her. She was fierce and protective, again putting me in mind of a mother defending her child. Dimitri was holding onto her just as intently, but both he and Lyssa were outmatched. The guardians finally pried them apart. There were confused shouts as guardians tried to determine whether they should kill Dimitri. It wouldn't have been hard. He was helpless now. He could barely stand when they jerked him to his feet.
That woke me up.
I'd simply been staring, frozen and dumbstruck. Shaking off my daze, I sprang forward, though I wasn't sure who I was going for.